Hey, I'm Adam Carolla.
I'm Dr. Drew.
And we are here to ask you to do us a little favor. If you like what you hear, share it with a friend.
Nice. Keep the pirate ship afloat, right?
Yeah, well, that's the only advertising we got. But it's the best kind.
It is.
Word of mouth.
It is.
Whose mouth?
Yours. Not yours, theirs.
Theirs.
Theirs, yes.
That's right. Thank you in advance for telling a friend, and enjoy the show.
This is Carolla Digital. Recorded live at Carolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on, and welcome to the program. Welcome, Chris and Carney.
Hey, Adam Carolla.
And Marnie Kinrath.
Hi.
The Wing Girl. Their show, Ask Women Podcast, and Real Dating Advice for Men, available on iTunes. I must tell you that every time, especially beautiful women like yourselves, whenever we speak to beautiful women about, like, dating, their answers are a lot of, like, keep it real.
Just be nice. Just
the most impossible thing
yourself.
You can do.
Yeah, don't be a one-upper. And you're like, what the fuck do I do with that information?
Well, I don't think we're anything like that. I've actually been doing this for 10 years, educating men on how to understand women. Mm-hmm. I've been a part of the pickup artist community.
She was part of what's his name wrote that book?
Neil Strauss, Mystery, and all that. So I was the first woman to ever be involved in that industry. So I learned very quickly how not
now,
to
Now, Mystery,
give crap
he's
advice.
At sea now? Like, was his pirate ship or something? Did that thing sail? Or was he an aviator? I can't remember what Mystery.
He's a very interesting guy.
He seemed like just a colossal vial of douche to me, but
I'm so new to this world that I just think everyone is except Marnie, because I would have never pictured being involved in something where you give dating advice. It's just like, just be a human being. That's what I would have thought. But
now I'm educating you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't even
think
it's the biggest problem that men think – like men, when it comes to what they would be attracted to, like, I feel like their biggest problem sexually with women is they treat the women like they would like to be treated. I mean, we do this in all of life where you go, here's what I would like, then that's what they would like.
And especially when you're younger.
So I like it hard and fast, you know, so they're going to like it hard and fast, you know. And so that's that we sort of apply in life and all aspects, men and women. So when you go, well, I would be impressed if the guy made a lot of money and if the guy was really good and athletic or something. So that's all I'm going to talk about. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I think on one side, a lot of men do think that way. And there are a certain group of men who do think that way. The men that I work with, and these are millions and millions of men all over the world who are part of this community, who want to understand women better so they can get what they want out of them without being jerks. These are the men who think that I don't want to be a jerk. I don't want to be too aggressive with women. There's rules in place that are different from what I think in my mind. And if I overstep those boundaries or break those rules, I'm either going to get rejected. I'm going to look like a fool. I'm going to get shoved in the friend zone. Women are going to hate me. And ultimately, I'm not going to get sex. So instead of fumbling and making mistakes to try and work around this system, they back off completely and don't take chances.
All right. Here's my number one piece of advice for dudes trying to pick up chicks. It was simple. Nice shoes. I like your shoes.
Start with that.
Start with that.
Then the purse.
Chicks love that. Then you fuck the shit out of that purse. I agree. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I said.
Yeah.
The problem is, though, if you're wearing shoes that you don't really like and then they like them, then you're like, oh, really? You like these shoes?
Well,
I just throw them on.
If you pick them, if they're...
Just kidding.
If you're trying to pick them up, but see, the thing is, if you're at a bar or you're on a date with that woman, she probably has picked out. It's the setting, I guess. If you're at a laundromat and she's wearing flip-flops, don't say nice shoes.
But if it's clear that she's...
Yeah.
I was sitting in a green room once and a woman... Literally, her foot had entered the room. Her body had not yet come in yet. And a woman across from her, love those shoes. And I was like, how the fuck did you get down there so fast? Guys are going, you know, you're
from
sort of scanning
down.
From the top down. Mm-hmm. And you never go to the shoes. You never arrive.
I mean, if you don't like what's past the chest, why are you going to even go down to the feet?
You never right? go to the Good feet, point. Period, unless you have a foot fetish, period. Yeah. Right. Right. And so the fact that she had not entered the room and some woman is calling out, God, those are great shoes. I love them.
Yeah.
Shocked me. I was really surprised.
I always I contend that there's the two other ways or two things that are good for meeting women, picking them up, whatever, is I don't think women can help it, by the way. When they like you, they make contact with you. They touch you.
Show.
Yeah.
Oh, Drew, you're so funny. You're so funny. They'll touch your shoulder when they say you're funny. They'll say something about you, and then they put their hand on you.
Yeah. Then there's a second order.
Second order is, oh, you're so funny, and then they drag.
The
if
drag,
you ever get the drag,
you're in.
If you get the hug and the drag, because look, the hug is mandatory for, oh, it's someone's birthday, or it's someone's got some office thing, it's a Christmas,
it's insincere.
Happy New Year. Yeah, you don't have to, but you can do it. You'll hug. But if you get the hug and the drag, get the hug. Now, if you get the hug and the sort of boom, like drop, like a piece of machinery dropping logs. Yeah, like if you get that, interest. But if you get the drag, I contend that women don't even know what they're doing. They just want to touch you a little bit longer. So if you get the drag or the any excuse to touch versus any excuse not to touch.
For sure. We talk a lot about that, about flirting versus sometimes just women are being nice. You can't really tell the difference. And I know for me, I'm really uncomfortable with flirting. So to do the drag, I mean, that's me basically saying I'll marry you. That's how uncomfortable I am with flirting.
Yeah. Or any form of contact. They'll lean into you. Like when you're walking, they'll go, oh, get out of here. You know, and they'll just lean into you. But any form of contact.
But the point is that, well, for sure, guys don't do that, number one. And two, they're not aware that women do that. And number three, women aren't aware that they do that.
Well, that's what they have us.
Until you bring it to consciousness, yeah.
Well, I watched this video over the weekend. I had a boot camp. So I had five guys come to Los Angeles to work with me and learn how to attract women. We had 3 days together, and I showed them this one video on flirting signs. It was this psychologist who was doing this study where he had a group of women in the room, a group of men in the room, and he was observing the flirting signs that they did. So he was showing, number one was like, I think it's called primming, where they literally just flip their hair a little bit. That's a very huge sign that, that women are into.
Touching
you.
Touching the hair and flipping the
hair. Yeah, the other one was long blinks, like longer blinks.
Which is weird because you would want to look at the person longer if you found them attractive. So it's weird that they would close their eyes.
Maybe you feel uncomfortable, like you're looking too long.
I feel like that makes me more feminine when I do it because I'm popping suddenly. So it's like, look at my eyes.
Well, that stuff.
Receptivity. That's the thing that guys don't know about.
That stuff goes back to Bugs Bunny cartoons, though.
That's
when they're like, tall, dark, and handsome. It's Mae Westy, you know, the fluttering. Yeah,
fluttering the eyelash.
They're showing it like a plumage or something, except for it's
flower.
So what are the other ones?
The other ones, well, I was going to tie it into what you were talking about, like the long movements of the arms when you are hugging. It's like having that longer, softer contact with the person that you're interested in is letting them know that you're there and that you're available. But like what Kristen and I were talking about, there's certain times where you're interacting with a guy and you're not really that conscious of how you're touching. Maybe you're over-touching. That's usually a sign of disinterest. But anything.
Disinterest?
Yes. If you're over-touching and like you're not really adding your emotions to what you're doing with your touches.
Hold on. Over-touching?
Over-touching.
That's a sack of
like
bullshit.
You've been with girls who either see
what
you
the fuck she's talking about.
As a friend, right? Where she's over-touching you.
First off, I've talked to enough psychologists to know 10% of them don't know what the fuck they're talking about, and many of them have like eating disorders. So please, over touching. There's no such thing as a girl not being attracted to the guy and over touching.
But maybe it's not like
touching a lot, but it's like the way that she does
maybe
touch
it's aggressive
you.
Aggressive touching.
It's like more aggressive touching.
Don't back
I would
up
get.
Horrible points.
No, it's like, well, like if they're like slapping.
A non-point of they're slapping you
or something,
they're
kinda
hitting you with a telephone book.
Yeah,
while you're attempting to rape them.
Yes.
Then they're not attracted
right,
you.
Right.
There's no such thing as over-touching.
Right.
Pull that one off the list.
Okay, what else?
Gone. But what I was saying before is like if they are subtle touches and they're long blinks of the eyes, or they're leaning in, they're softening their voice to sound more feminine, anything like licking their lips or playing with their hair, those are all signs that she is clearly interested in you. Doesn't mean that in the next 5 minutes that attraction couldn't disappear, but at that point in time, she's paying attention to you and interested.
Agreed. Except for the over-touching.
Fucking retarded. I have to show you what I'm talking about.
Well,
so
you're talking about the person punching the other person or something like that, like their brother and sister.
No, play fighting is also flirting.
All right. There's no overtouching. Any touching is touching. If you're not interested, there's zero touching. That's my point. It's not too much touching. It's horrible. Horrible advice. But okay, listen, 4 out of 5. Not bad. Now listen. The other thing is the interest. It's the easiest thing in the world. You go like this. Here's the interest. Drew, you be the chick.
All right.
Here's how you know.
Stretch.
Interested, uninterested. And I know Drew's going to come through here because we've tried
this
one a bunch of times.
Which am I doing? Interested or uninterested?
First, we'll let them figure it out.
Let them figure it out.
You can put it whatever order, but we'll do interested and uninterested.
Okay.
Man, that Ron Howard flick, Rush, looks cool, man. I'm looking forward to that.
That's a lie, by the way. I can't get into the actor. He just looks too dumb. He looks...
No, I know.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Who? What?
I had to get it.
She's giving her opinion.
I'm torn because
I
like Ron
Rush.
Howard. I like Ron Howard, but what's his name? He just looks like the guy that's like,
Hemsworth?
Hey, dude, like, what are you doing? Like a Keanu Reeves,
Thor.
But blonde kind of.
Oh, Thor. Yeah.
Thor guy, yeah.
But am I lying? Who's lying?
Sorry, no. You're being truthful.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because I know you're into racing and stuff like that.
Pick a different film.
All right, sorry.
Sorry.
All right, we'll take from top.
Pick a dude film.
All right. Wait, this is a dude film.
Evidently not. I thought it was too.
Wait a minute. By the way, I think the story is more about the other guy. I can't think of his name.
The guy that got burned.
Yeah, not Jackie Stewart, but I'll think of the guy's name in a second. Niki Lauda. Right. I think it's more about the Niki Lauda character. But anyway. Oh, no, maybe it's not. But anyway, the Niki Lauda character. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
You ready? Shut their mics off, please, so we can get through this. All right. I'm looking forward to that movie, Rush. I like me some Ron Howard. He always makes a good flick.
It's funny. I was thinking about that, too. Ron Howard, I've not heard much about Rush, but I'm really interested in Ron Howard films.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good. He always delivers.
Always.
Yeah.
Always. In fact, you know what? Now that you mention it, I really would like to see that film.
Yeah, anything he sees. Anything he does. Good
it's
film.
Fantastic.
All right. That's Drew wants to go on a date with me.
Yeah.
Now Drew doesn't want to go on a date with me. Yeah. Man, I'm looking forward to that Ron Howard film, Rush. You heard about that?
That lead actor looks like just Keanu Reeves to me or something.
You're so insightful.
But I don't know. I think he'd be a good actor.
And Ron Howard, Opie, really? He thinks he's a director? Come on.
Yeah. You don't like Cars?
Well, I like Cars, but I don't really want to see that film.
Wow. You want some more punch?
Not if you're giving it to me.
Can I punch you excessively? Because that means I don't like it. I do like it. I do like
no,
it.
No, don't.
No,
do.
Do. Yes. All right, so that's how it works. You just bring up something.
It's kicking the door open or kicking the door
this
shut.
This is why it's been hard for me to go on dates with people because I reject anything. Like everything, like improv is yes and, but I'm such a no but type of person.
No shit.
So.
What are you talking to?
Sorry.
Sitting in the same room with you. Yeah, but there are things. What do you like? I mean, I want a band name that you like.
A band name, and something
that you like.
I like something simple, not trying too hard. Good band name.
I want a band that
an actual band. Yeah.
Yes.
Name a band you like.
Everyone's going to hate me now. I like Coldplay.
Okay.
All right. You like Coldplay. Why did everyone hate you?
Because they're kind of a, you know, 10
All right.
Years
you like
ago.
Coldplay. All right. But you like Coldplay.
Oh, love them.
All right.
George.
So now we're at a party, and I'm like, hey, I just saw Gwyneth and Apple and Chris, what's his name, on scooters in Santa Monica. Coldplay, man. That's a hell of a band, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Except, you know, Gwyneth has been kind of a asshole lately, so I don't know about.
Yeah, but I got a couple of Coldplay tickets, man. I can't wait to see them.
Yeah. I would go. Where are the seats? Are they decent seats?
They're on my lap, bitch.
All right. I'm in.
All right.
That's how you get me to say yes.
Yeah. So if a guy started talking to you about Coldplay, you'd probably be into it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So there's stuff, you know, that's the point. But if you're – what I'm saying is if you're attracted to the guy and he brings up Nickelback,
right.
You should
he's
still,
out.
No.
No, you'd probably still
no,
say
he's
yes.
not out. You should say, yes, I want to see Nickelback because you're attracted to the guy.
That's true, but I'm unattracted now that I know he likes Nickelback.
Well, he doesn't roadie for the band. He's a casual fan. He just wants to hear the hits.
I take it very literally.
I'm saying if you like the guy and he says, I like Nickelback, or he wants to see Rush, not the band.
The movie.
The movie.
Yeah.
You should say, oh, I would go.
I would go. I'm sorry I judged that a little quickly because I saw the preview this weekend when I went to the movies and I was instantly turned off and then they said Ron Howard and then I got a little bit interested, but I'd already been so just jaded by his haircut.
By Thor's haircut?
Yeah, it's too much.
But that's what the guy looked like.
That's true.
Well, would you be turned off by Ben Franklin's haircut if they did a doc? Why does he have a more stylish do?
Well, his face is too attractive for the haircut.
What's with the powdered wig?
I agree with you. I saw the preview too, and I thought it was an action film.
It's like a Brad Pitt thing. I don't find Brad Pitt attractive because he's too handsome. It's like the golden retriever.
You'd fuck Brad Pitt in a fucking hot second.
No,
believe me, he'd put his dick through that door.
Chris and
Chris would fuck him. I mean, just as a story. No, but he'd be the...
He's like the golden retriever of dogs, you know, because the golden retriever is so expected and typical. And it's like, oh, yeah, of course it's a good looking dog. But I like something that's a little more interesting, like a, I don't know, collie or something. Uh-huh. That's got a little more uniqueness.
Give us a guy.
I hate to say this because I'm going to come up with like a douchey example. But I guess
guy from
Johnny.
Nickelback.
Yeah. well, even like Chris Martin. He's not traditionally handsome, but I find him much more attractive than Ben.
Well, he's tall. He's angular. He's blonde. Like, he's not.
Yeah,
he's not Hulk. I mean, he's not Thor, but he's would call him.
I like some character. What I'm saying is Brad Pitt doesn't have so much character in his face. Maybe mm-hmm. that he's getting older, but it's just so expected. He's too pretty.
No,
it's like the way a woman is pretty.
I agree with you.
No.
I'm more attracted to Chris Martin than I would be to Brad Pitt.
And I've heard a lot of women say that.
It's not like your only choice at the party is the too tall, blue-eyed, blonde-haired, attractive man with chiseled jaws.
There's Chris Martin.
Oh, yeah. Adam Sandler I would take in a heartbeat over Brad Pitt.
Really?
For sure. Mm-hmm.
Have you not seen his last 11 movies?
I don't care about his movies. He's hilarious. His character seems
You don't care about his movies?
No.
His movies suck.
We can only watch the first two.
How do you assess that he's funny except through his movies?
Those movies aren't even as good movies.
Billy Madison, in my mind, he is adorable and funny.
She likes opera, man.
Yeah, but I think some of Brad Pitt's movies suck.
All right.
So.
Now, listen.
There's the haircuts.
Adam Sandler movies are fucking horrible. And even the Happy Gilmores and the Billy Madisons really still do suck. They're just people. They don't suck as much. They're overinflated.
Yeah.
You guys were the right age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like right at our,
You show me somebody who was, 15 when Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison came out. I'll show you someone who's forever in love, just like we'll have with some Gene Wilder movie. But if you go back and look at it now, not a fantastic piece of work.
Right.
But basically on our show, we do a lot of guys, when they listen, they think we're just going to be into really attractive men, and men that think they're not as handsome as other men don't think they have a chance. So basically, like, we do talk a lot about on our show that it isn't genuinely just about looks at all. I genuinely don't find Brad Pitt I'm not attracted to him. I find him handsome, of course, but I'm not attracted to him. So we talk a lot about what makes someone attracted to someone else.
I think guys get that, but that's where the cars and the, luxury whatevers come in. And they try to overcompensate with a bunch of other sort of ornaments on their unattractive Christmas tree.
Right.
but I think the guy, I mean, the concept that the schlubby guy can be with the supermodel is well accepted, but it's also accepted that the schlubby guy cannot work at the Costco and be with the supermodel. The schlubby guy has to be a big time producer and be with the supermodel.
Yeah.
And so the schlubby guys tend to be more work a little harder producing.
Thus,
you have a lot of guys in front of the camera that look like Brad Pitt, but a lot of guys behind the camera and in the offices that are a little schlubbier. That's where that comes in. Yes, Drew?
Absolutely.
Well, Drew advised me to read this book called The Evolution of Desire that's written by David Buss or Boos. I'm not sure how you pronounce Buss. And that talks about the 18 characteristics that women do find attractive. So as much as we can think, oh, she's into him because he is a producer, there's a whole bunch of different characteristics and qualities that have allowed him to get up to that space. He's proactive. He's driven. He has the ability to provide resources.
I've always said that I don't, they do this sort of gold digger-y thing. And I've always said I don't think women are attracted to money. They're attracted to the qualities that it took to get the guy to that money. Well, there's a certain percentage of women that just want to be taken care of. Fine. There's a certain amount of guys that want to. Fine. Throw them out. And the guys that just sort of like, you know, when you see the guy in the impressive house, the impressive car, the impressive whatever, everyone thinks it's about the car. It's about what the guy did. And yeah. When the guy says the story, well, I started off as, working at an architectural firm and I worked my way up and then eventually I ended up starting my own firm and blah, blah, blah. Your panties start getting moist. And when you go, my uncle died and he left me a bunch of money. It's like, boop. It's gone.
Not
same
so
condo,
exciting.
same place, same car, just left money versus built my own architectural business and blah, blah, blah. And here's the designs on this new complex I'm working on. Like, boom, right?
Competency. Yeah. Competency is very attractive for people. But remember we did that numbers assessment thing we wrote about once?
Yeah.
How men, you know, everyone has a number and that men create a different number for a woman than women create for men. Remember?
Well, the numbers, the factor in. I remember talking to Jimmy Kimmel about this on an airplane for a long time once. But, you know, men factor in looks, basically. Yep. That's the number one. And then after that, don't stab me while I'm in the shower.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what a woman does
there
for
work. But there were four criteria. It was like face, body.
Right.
What was the other thing? There was a third. Again, in the sort of looks category.
Yeah.
And the fourth was who the person is.
Well, the fourth, sadly, was not being hassled.
It was who the person is. It's different people.
Does that factor in? Because I never hassled. Knew that men use numbers so much until I started doing what I was doing.
Well, we don't use numbers. We look, everybody, we're in a constant assessment mode. Constant assessment mode.
And men.
Men.
Yeah.
Women as well. Human beings.
Yeah.
But mostly men. When I say, when I drive and I see the person with the stuffed animals along the back window of their car and I can't see their head because they're too short for it to poke past the headrest, I say to whoever's ever driving the car, get the fuck around this guy. I'm going to get stuck behind this guy. And they go, And I was like, we ain't going anywhere behind this guy or this gal or whoever it is. I'm assessing that person. You show me the, single dude in the Corvette. With the fog hat blaring, and I'll show you guys going to make pretty good time. And so, I'm not all the time, but I'm assessing. I'm constantly assessing. Women assess, men assess. Women factor in many other factors other than the aesthetic. Men, I think it's an aesthetic meets a personality. But one big thing too is not being hassled. Like, am I going to be able to say on a Sunday, I'm going to go with the boys, watch the ball game, drink some brews, and I'll be back when I'm back after the late game versus where are you going? Blah, 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 blah. You know, it is an element that we factored in, I think.
For sure.
These sort of, it's not really being hassled. It's more just their sort of chill ability. Like,
how cool they are.
Yeah, sadly, well, I have a Labrador. Yeah. And the reason I have a Labrador is because I'm a fucking pain in the ass. Mike August, I'm not talking about my wife. Mike August has two dogs that are a pain in the ass. I remember I went to his house for like a business meeting and it was nonstop with the fucking dog scratching and barking and barking and scratching, and like getting up, letting him out, bringing him back in. Like, we're trying to have a meeting and we couldn't because these fucking dogs wouldn't stop. Now, I don't want that. I want a dog that just chills out. That's what I'm looking for.
But a lot of the women that want to be in relationships aren't really chill. So it's hard, I think, sometimes for the guy to find the woman who wants to be in a relationship but yet is completely chill.
Well, I don't mean
not
comatose,
completely,
but I just mean, let's
chill.
Call it secure.
Right.
Let's say that
she
can go out with her friends on a Sunday and you can go out with your friends and watch the game and we're cool. I'll see you Sunday night.
I'm just learning to do that now with my husband because I wasn't so chill before. I like to pretend I was, and at least for the first 5 months to a year, I was chill. I was the best girlfriend in the entire world because I wasn't stating my needs out loud. I was bottling them up and like building up this tension towards him when we were first starting to date. And then suddenly it all started coming out in weird, nagging, horrible ways. And then from that point, my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, have worked really hard together to communicate so that I don't get to that place. And then I've worked really hard on myself so that I won't get to that place either. So now when he goes out with his friends, I'm literally pushing him out the door to go with his friends. So we teach men about how to communicate in relationships too, so that, you know, guys don't feel like they can't go do the things that they want to do.
What were the 18 steps for success. I think we got to half.
Oh, the characteristics. I wish I knew all of them.
Looking up David Buss, BUSS.
Yeah. There was loyalty. Actually, they did. It was really interesting because the last one was commitment and love, and they did this testing of people from all over the world, and they found out that like 89% of the people that they had studied had said that they couldn't be in a relationship if even if they had 17 of the characteristics, if they didn't have love, they couldn't. But they couldn't be with another person, except for women in Russia. It was like 59% of women who had said that. But 89% of people still said that they needed to be in love and to have love in order to be in a long-term relationship with someone, with a man.
We have some phone calls, by the way. And yes, Drew.
Before I wanted to finish what we had done in terms of the numbers assessment that women use. And remember, we used you were talking about, I just want to finish this conversation. Women, we used to say, there was looks. There was resources, but there was also position, like position in the world, status in the world.
Yeah.
And,
that was pretty important.
Yeah, and that's sort of what you're talking about in terms of competency and, you know, as opposed to resources, position in the world. And if you remember, we were on the Roseanne show, and we were talking about this. I forget who the other woman was on. She was a relationship expert. And we went like, you go like, look, you know, Drew and I are a solid six. And they go, no, you're not. You go, no, we're a six. But if you take into our position and resource, they go, no, you're an eight or a nine. They couldn't even tease it out. It's so woven into their assessment.
Some people are so neurotic that you can't give them scenarios because they won't let you finish your hypothetical or your scenario.
But I think it was so woven into their perception that they couldn't separate it out.
Also, like, sorry, female relationship experts, but most of them are fucking crackpots. I mean, they're all fucking crackpots, and they're a mess. And then they're on Roseanne, so they're sort of hype. They're beaked up, and so they don't let you finish your thought, which is to say, I'll put it to you this way. I feel most women, speaking of money, speaking of position, I'll bet you if you took a guy who worked for a Fortune 500 company, and let's just say he worked for Allstate Insurance, and he was middle management guy, and he made $250,000 a year, okay, versus a guy who made half that, $125,000 a year, but he ran his own company, and it was, let's just say, they shipped gourmet coffees, and he sourced the growers or whatever it was.
On by this guy
fucking getting hot for this guy with the coffee
I'm
bean, right?
Right.
That guy who made half the income, 100% of the women would be much more interested in that guy who walked into his workplace, even if he only had seven employees, and they all said, well, what's next, boss? And he said, we got a shipment coming in from Brazil. And they'd be into that dude. Mm-hmm. So we always go, or the common wisdom or knowledge is, oh, they're into money. No. If they're into money, they'd be with the guy in middle management and work for Allstate.
Yeah.
Or Pepsi or Beatrice or whatever the company is. No, much more attractive, the guy running his own fill-in-the-blank business and making half the money, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. Also, you assume the guy who works in insurance has a bad personality or something. Like, he has no sense of humor.
But like
also.
I said, let's say he worked for Nike. I mean, it's just middle man. He has 11 bosses. And when I say 11, I mean maybe 111 guys over him versus – but he still has a nice career versus the dude who's running his own show.
Yeah,
that little bit of power is very attractive.
Yeah, well, that was one of the characteristics as well, and I forget what it was labeled as, but it's the ability to sort of fight for yourself, the ability to also stand up for yourself and not take a back seat. And for me, my perception of people who do work in the corporate world at the middle level are kind of always taking a back seat, unless they're fighting to elevate themselves to a higher level.
Right. Watch this. Be prepared to be turned on. Hey, Gary Haftard, tell peon number four back there to heat up the boss's coffee pronto, huh?
No promise.
Well, I want to tell a story about what you were talking about before about the nagging and the hassling. So I did this boot camp last weekend, and we had these women come for the last 2 hours of the boot camp on Saturday that were also being coached by another female coach on how to date. Mm-hmm. These were women in their, 35 to 50, I would say.
Supermodels.
But they were gorgeous. These women were super hot when they walked in. And I was like, what is wrong with these women?
For some reason, I don't believe that.
No, they were. I was blown away. They looked so put together.
Hold on. Actually do want a little more coffee.
I'd like some, too.
No problem. I'm going to brew up a new pot. Give me 2 minutes.
Oh, okay. We got time.
And so
hurry, you peon.
One of these women, she was wonderful. She was talking about how she's a therapist. She's open. She gets picked up at the ATM machine all the time and then goes out with the guys, which I thought was very, very strange. But then she said out loud, well, I'm looking for my soulmate. And as soon as she said that, every guy in the room backed up and like put their arms over their chest. I did the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. And then I asked the guy afterwards, like, what did you hear when she said that? And they said, pressure. I'm never going to be able to achieve what she's asking for. She's looking for her soulmate. And then I talked to a lot of these women afterwards. And a lot of women who are at an older age and even a younger age,
in a hurry,
they put their goals before the person that they're actually interacting with.
Let me ask this. It seems like also a lot of women, particularly women that achieve in the world, feel like they're entitled to whatever they want. Like, yeah, they should be able to find the perfect mate because they've had the perfect career and they've done everything where they're supposed to do, and they can never seem to find anybody.
I know. I find that too.
They just won't settle for anything. And as opposed to back, it seems like women used to settle more. Is that what that is? Or we're more less discerning?
I think we have a lot of these things being told to us that we can have everything.
That's correct.
This ideal is in our
minds. Not that you can have everything. You deserve everything. Every fucking tampon commercial, every Gatorade commercial, every Nike commercial, like every soda commercial, every fucking yogurt commercial is just about you are a woman. You take what you want and you take what you need and you have everything and you do it all and you do it well and you deserve everything.
No wonder guys are pissed off.
Yeah,
but no wonder women like me have such anxiety every day because I don't feel like I'm doing enough ever. I'm never going to be everything that the world has laid out for us to be.
The other half of the chick commercials are about being swept away with chocolate or bath, by the way. There's no where's our dude commercials where we go, just fucking pull the eye shade, slip back into the tub, get some of that Ghirardelli chocolate over there and pull it apart and just drift away
somewhere. Fall for it.
I guess we don't. Yeah, we know the fucking yogurt's not gonna do shit for us. Still gonna have bills. Yeah. So we've done this thing where everyone deserves everything, and let's face it, there's not enough of
not just everyone, women particularly.
Sorry. There's not enough Dr. Drews to go around. I'll pay him a compliment.
Thank you, finally. Mm-hmm. And so what, did this woman acknledge that issue or is that talk? No.
No, and the other woman that was there was her coach. I wasn't going to step in and give her advice about it because I asked the guys after the mixer was over. But I wanted her to hear what they had to say. So I told one of the guys while we were out later on to have a conversation with her and just talk to her about what that statement actually meant. And he said that she was very receptive when he was telling her like how it made him feel and how it could possibly make other men feel.
But
and that was really helpful.
There's
for
a weirder psychological element to it too. And Adam, you tell me if I'm wrong on this. That kind of pressure, it feels weirdly consuming.
It feels totally consuming, even for me.
But for men particularly, that they're on a variable scale of a fantasy about a consuming woman being very disturbing to them. Some men are really freaked out by that. A lot of men are, in fact.
Well, one of the main goals is that you want to make women happy. So if there's a goal set that you possibly can't achieve.
Yeah, it's more psychoanalytic. It's some deep-seated, like, weird, like, fear of a consuming woman.
Well,
really? Yeah, but also women have those fears. I've been in a relationship for 5 years, and every time I think
You have been or haven't?
I have been. Uh-huh. But I'm so not a relationship type. So for me, I have all the same feelings still associated with not the pressure. Like we've been together for 5 years and there's that pressure. I don't want it, but I'm in it.
You feel it.
I feel that pressure.
Well, your pressure is because you – sorry if I'm speaking out of turn, but because you want a whole career and you also want to be an awesome girlfriend. And for a lot of women, it is challenging to have both and balance
And you're
them.
A little neurotic.
Absolutely. I mean,
I'm a
Jewish neurotic, anxiety-ridden person.
No,
but
I'm talking about Marnie over there. Kristen, sorry. Kristen, yeah, I mean, if you're going to be wired a certain way to be neurotic, you're just going to feel that whatever, wherever you are, relationships, work, personally, whatever it is, you will feel that. You can be wired a different way where you never feel it. That's probably not a good thing. I do
some comedy and things like that, so I meet a lot of women that play more of the man role. Every girl that I'm semi-friends with, because I'm not really good friends with anybody, they all have...
That's what I'm talking about.
They're the man in the relationship. So I think we've also talked about the shifting of expectations.
What does that mean, they're the man in the relationship?
Not wanting commitment. I mean, I'm definitely the man in my relationship, especially that I'm wearing like this cutoff t-shirt, I feel like it. But but a lot of the girls that I'm friends with and that I associate with, they're not living in the Midwest and choosing to get married at 21. And they want to have a partner in life, but they don't want to have the full commitment. So things are changing, and there are a lot of women that are behaving more like men.
How old are they?
About 28. 30,
I start talking here in the front of them at 35, and they're in full panic mode.
Yeah,
and
that's the problem is that now we're going to get to that point soon.
But Drew, hold on. Hold on. Because I've seen it happen with a lot of males, and we've always seen it happen with males, but as our society, as women and men start to cross, yeah. You know, my big X theory, we started off in the 50s, way over at the bottom of one side of the X, picture a giant X and the other one on there, and we're heading up now to cross.
Men and women are each side
it's
of the
explode.
X?
Yeah, and we're going to collide soon, or we'll just become one species at some point. Or at least society seems hell-bent on getting us to be one thing and not two separate things.
But it's not going to be pretty in the process. It's
no,
like if a meteor
it's
hits.
It's going on right now, right. And I don't get why society needs us. It's the left, basically. It's not the right. The left needs us to be one gender. I don't know what's in it for them, but it will come back to bite them in the same gendered ass. But if you...
Which is most likely flat.
Live in a society, yes, where, you know, men and women are sort of the... The chasm between them is shrinking. Women have tattoos and, you know, drive pickup trucks and motorcycles, and guys are getting manis and petties and things like that. And we're shrinking it. We're intentionally shrinking it. I don't know why, but we are. We're hell-bent on that. Now, you know, used to be, you know, we will no longer I think this thing penmanship is out the window now. It's writing, or you're right. You can't say man in your penmanship. Mm-hmm. This is an issue. Like, there's all these issues. But the point is this. It's retarded. But the point is, we're becoming one. And then, so that's the first thing that's happening. And then the next thing that's happening is you live for you, man. It's your world.
Yeah.
I mean, you're number one. You. So even women, I don't think, are going to want to settle down, have kids, raise a family, and do all the things that we were traditionally doing in this country, because the definition of parent is basically you can define it many different ways, but the ultimate how it's ultimately defined is you put your shit on hold and start working on these other little creatures that have come out of your vagina.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. And you stop. Okay, you were pursuing this, you were pursuing that, you wanted to travel. Remember when we used to travel all of it?
Not anymore.
No more. Focus on this and start taking some of your resources that you used to use for cocktails and clubs and concerts and nightlife and travel and blah, 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 and start funneling it into braces and college funds and blah. So basically what we're saying ultimately is it's not about you anymore. It's about them.
Yeah.
But we have a society that never stops beating a drum saying it's all about you. Mm-hmm. So how are we going to reconcile this? It's all about me. What am I fucking saving money for these little shits for? Right. So I think that women are buying into it, becoming men, and the steady beat and chorus of it's all about you, even they are slowing down.
Well,
in
it's
this
funny
department.
Because I live this lifestyle that is that, but I don't think I feel – I'm not this feminine – like I'm kind of like an anti-femite, like I call myself. Like I think women – not all of them, but, you know, women should be continuing to beat – walk to the beat of that drum. But I'm feeling like my fun's getting ruined because everyone's deciding to take this path. And it's okay if everyone sticks to what they're doing, but then you have the few people like me that want to get away with it. But the problem is
I think that number's growing. I don't think it's a few people. I think it's growing.
Well, no, I'm saying that's what it is. It's growing now. So people like me, who if I lived like in the 50s, I would have been like, oh, the society's still fine because there's only a few of me. But now it's like there's everyone is like me, so it doesn't.
Not only that, no. If you lived in the 50s, you would be judged. You'd be a spinstress.
Yeah, and I definitely wouldn't have been ballsy enough to be this in the 50s. By the way,
yeah, you would have conformed.
Oh,
probably,
definitely. Three babies by now.
Yeah. You would have been. But if you were living the life you're living now, you would have been judged for living the life you're living now. Now you're being worshipped. You know, people are looking at you going, "Wow, that's awesome."
But your friends that are 28 that are not interested in equipment and stuff. Do they understand that after 32, the probability of motherhood is close to
zero? Oh,
yeah. Oh, you can adopt.
35
is whatever.
Zero. It approaches zero after 35.
Yeah, the conversation is now occurring more and more and more. And you feel nervous, but it's like that thing, it's impending, but it's not happening now. So you don't feel any of the
results. Are they talking about
yet.
Freezing their eggs or anything and trying to take control of that?
Yeah, but then again, like it scares all of us. That's too big of a idea or a thought, so it's kind of like procrastinating
until
it actually
becomes an issue. So
literally
you can't deal with reality.
Right. That's
what's
happening.
No, but it's not
reality. It's what is
no, the reality is that you're going to be – listen, because I'm talking to all the 30-year-olds. They're pissed. Why didn't somebody tell me at 28 I couldn't have kids at 35?
Well, my sister just got pregnant.
She's
35.
You can do whatever you want whenever you want because you can do.
It's unusual.
She's nervous waiting to find out if there's going to be something wrong with it. Right. She's waiting for the blood test. And it's
But Drew, nobody tells you that because that's considered oppressive. That's considered, you know, first off, you don't tell women what they can do about their reproduction one way or the other. You don't control that. They
They should take control of it and freeze embryos and stuff. That's my point.
That's you as a man telling a woman what to do with her innards and you don't do that.
But if I would have done that at 28, that would have been so not –
it would have been so 35 of me to do.
Yeah, it would have been very strange. Late, like though. People were telling me when I was last home visiting that I should freeze my eggs. And I was like, why should I freeze my eggs? I don't even know if I want children. That was last time I went home to Toronto to
visit. Not having children makes perfect sense.
Yeah, but now I do want children. And it suddenly changed for me. And so I can feel that anxiety from everybody else around me. Like last time I hung out with one of my friends who has two children. She's like, do you want my ovulation kits? I'm like, no, I don't. I want to have fun having sex with my husband. I don't want to start stressing myself out. And I can see how it goes in that direction and how I could be mad at myself for not having kids when I was 28 when I am 35 and not able to get pregnant. But at 28, I wouldn't have wanted children. And I know I could have adjusted to it.
I'm not saying have kids. I'm just saying
start preparing for it.
Yeah.
But then I feel like if you're preparing maybe for me.
Just think realistically about it.
Well, I'm going to help you a lot here, Drew.
Can steer me away.
We're not saying retire at 28. We're saying prepare for one day retirement and putting some money aside. You wouldn't argue with that.
No,
angle.
Definitely not.
No, right. But when you don't have, when you're that age and you don't have any of those, the results happen yet. You know, it's like that delayed.
I know, but you're not retired yet either. But you can wrap your mind around the concept of not being
able
to work one day.
People are not accepting the reality.
But you're not dealing with any of the consequences yet.
No, they're just not.
So
they're going, I'm going to be 35. I'm going to figure it out.
Right.
As opposed to at 35, this is a high probability.
Well,
I won't
but
be able to
listen,
it out.
What has happened, first off, again, we'll get back to Madison Avenue. You know, Pepsi's big campaign is live for now. So that's what Pepsi is telling everyone who likes Beyonce.
They say that because if you live for later, you wouldn't be drinking Pepsi.
Yeah, you'd be fat.
Right.
Well, I would say
but
if it was
no,
offered
they're
a free
saying
resource.
It's all about live for now. Live for now is not freeze your eggs. Live for now is live for now. Number one. Number two. There's adoption. There's technology. Everyone looks at that. Well, we'll pay a doctor. And we'll get it figured out. And that's what has happened.
Right, I'm just saying I wouldn't bring this up if I weren't talked to a bunch of 30-year-olds that are pissed.
All right,
that's all I do.
I get that.
Craig,
if it was offered for free,
41,
I would do it.
Denver.
Hey, Adam, Drew. How are you guys?
Great.
Not much. I just want to let you know. My son has started doing a little bit of cross country, and he had three meets. They're just a mile and a half long.
Cross country.
Cross country, yeah.
How old is he?
He's 8 years old.
I have cross country at eight.
Oof.
It's just it's more of a running.
It seems bad for their bones and joints at eight.
It's not too heavy. It's just a mile and a half, and it's not. I was a little leery about it too, but it's just kind of a running club.
Okay. All right,
but
feels boring as shit. Doesn't he want to fucking hit a ball or punch somebody or something?
Well, we play hockey also, so where we get the aggression out.
Okay.
But he had three cross-country meets, and they're just a mile and a half, and he's gotten fourth in each one.
Mm-hmm.
And he finally realized, like, I don't get a ribbon unless I get first, second, or third. So,
you got to make the podium, first, second, or third.
That's right.
Yeah, that's good. He's coming in fourth, and that's great, but it's not good enough to be third and get a podium.
Yeah.
And so he's going to have
that's
to work
right.
a little bit harder. And that's good that he doesn't get a ribbon for fourth.
Exactly. He's realized that it's not that participation that's not going to mean anything. He said, well, next time I'm going to watch for Timmy. I'm going to see if I can beat him next time.
Right.
It's good. Drew and I like that.
Yeah.
By the way, if you ever talk to a guy, and he goes, I did a race, and you go, how'd you do? And he goes, I podiumed. You go, third place. Because when you get first place, you say first place.
When you get second place, you say second place.
When you get third place, you say you podium. Yeah. That's code.
Could be fourth,
for
too, sometimes.
It's like when people say,
I'm
in the top 14 percentile.
There's no podium for fourth. There's three. That's the way it works.
All right.
I don't think that I'm aware of. I'm not trying to shit on your point, but I'm going to shit on your point. All right. So good. And we're all for that. And by the way, kids never stop. My son is a fluffy, lovey, sweetie, little boy. He kisses you on the lips. He's very thoughtiful and all that.
I had so much fun with him at UCLA football.
That's a waste of my time.
He's into football now. We got him. And his thing, you know what? I can inform you about this. His most favorite thing is punt receiving.
Oh, well, he's the fourth fastest kid in the school, so he's announced. So he didn't podium in the speed department. But the point is I've never, he's since the age of five, you know, he's been telling me how fast he is and then how fast he is compared to anyone else in the first grade or the second grade. And it's a lot of, he was actually 2.5. Not 2.5 years of age. He was 2.5. He was the second and a half fastest guy at his old school. But I didn't instill this in him. He can't stop competing. Now, the second they announce that everyone's just the same speed and they get a trophy,
right,
it's not going to
work.
Well,
that was all in the name of building esteem. It turns out esteem, not necessarily a good thing. Because people with low self-esteem work harder. They have grit.
Listen.
Or they just give up.
Listen. Mm-hmm. The esteem part, announcing that everybody won the race at the end of the race has nothing to do with esteem building. It's esteem lowering.
That's right.
You deciding that, every year Sports Illustrated picks a Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. Me setting up a piece of plywood that has a cover of Sports Illustrated on it and every human being sticking their head through a hole in it and taking a picture and then you getting to leave with a Polaroid, it's not self-esteem building
right. For
anybody.
Right.
So I don't know who these fucking assholes were who said, well, if we get everyone Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year, then everyone will feel, no, of course that's not going to work. You do the math immediately.
They were narcissists that couldn't stand seeing their kids disappointed because it reflected poorly on them.
Why, though, Drew, did a certain group of academia, and you know, you tell me all the time about college, the importance of college. These fakakta retarded ideas all fucking came from college. These fucking idiots with their asinine ideas about men and women, gender roles, and if you gave little Timmy a dolly and little Susie a gun, this all came from college. All came from a bunch of fucking guys who called themselves educated, didn't know shit about human beings. That all came from the place you worship.
They're shitty ideas.
And did not come from the construction site where I was.
They're shitty ideas that come from ivory towers because they're so insulated from
So stop fucking blowing so much sunshine up their ass. A lot of the problems, I believe, and a lot of the problems we have in society right now are coming from these institutions where they're coming down from their ivory tower and explaining to all the uneducated people how life really works. And it turns out they got a fucking ass backwards.
A lot of shitty political movements have come from the academia. French Revolution was sort
good.
Of originally
good. Now knock it off then. Right. Stop worshiping them so much. All right.
I worship the process.
The process of being brainwashed by horrible ideas. All right. Line three or line five?
What do you five.
Like? Line five? All right.
I worship it too.
Vance? Yeah, it's so important.
Yep.
God. Yes. Hello? All right. Yeah, sorry, man. Vance. I'm angry at college. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
That's all right. Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
What's up?
So I guess my issue is I just moved in with my girlfriend about less than a month ago, and last night I find out that she's been talking to an ex-boyfriend. She was talking to a friend about how she still had feelings for the ex-boyfriend and wanted to see him.
How'd you see that? Would you find out some text or something?
I'm sorry?
I was on her
computer, and she has the iMessage, so she was texting with somebody, and it was popping up on her computer at the same time.
Why are we on her computer?
I was just looking at some football stuff.
But do you have a computer?
Oh, yeah. We just use each other's computers all the time.
Did you pretend you were her?
No. I wasn't texting. She was texting, but the messages go to her phone and her computer.
No, the reason Gary wants to know, but the reason I ask about the computer and using someone else's computer is sometimes people want you to find out things, even though they don't know it on a conscious level. And if it's the kind of thing where it's like you have your computer, she has her computer, and you never commingle with the computers, then this is her surprise that you're finding this out. If you're constantly using her computer and going back and forth from her computer to your computer and she casually leaves this stuff around, that's a different message than you hacked into her system.
But they just moved in together, so she's probably not prepared to know that you know,
that it connects,
that, that they're all going to be in one space or, now to find the stuff.
Or acutely aware of it in this period. I mean, you could make the argument that, oh, shit, now I got to hide the porn, so to speak. Like, this guy didn't just leave his Jugs magazine flopped out all over the place. He went, oh, shit, she's moving in. I got to fucking stash this stuff. I'm guessing, right, Vance?
Right. Okay. Yeah, I didn't really think about that. But I mean,
all right. So now there's the part where she moved in with you. Whose idea was this?
It was both. We've been together for 2 years, mm-hmm. and we both just took the California bar. And then so we kind of had a big change in our lives and figured, well, this is a good time to move in.
My but who's really, if you could give it a percentage, it can't be 50-50.
I mean, who was driving the move in?
60%.
Yeah,
you?
I would say probably her, actually.
She was driving it.
Right, because her roommate was moving out, and I could have stayed in my old place, but she kind of.
Hold on, let's check. So she moved in, and she's feeling like she needed to. Maybe she was feeling hemmed in a little bit.
She was fantasizing about the old boyfriend, you mean?
Well. This who knows how long this has been going on, but I do know that if you take a guy, for instance,
yeah.
and he, all of a sudden he feels corralled, he will start moving, at least in his mind, outside of the corral that he got put in. Even if the corral is spacious and comfortable, he still has that, uh-oh.
Yeah.
So there could have been that. The other part is the casualness, the sort of leaving it out there. I'm no computer expert, but... fact they just turned on her computer and saw this stuff on there, it's not her covering her tracks.
Well, it says he broke up with her already.
Oh,
right?
He did?
Yeah.
I don't read.
Yeah.
Broke up with her, what was her reaction?
She broke down. She walked in the door because she was out of the house, and she walked in the door and she could tell someone what was wrong. She said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "We're done." And I left and went out for a while.
Did you explain why?
We got to that later. I left for a while to cool down, and then when I got back, she asked why, and I said, "Look, I know these conversations. You know, I know that you've been talking to him. I know that you've been talking to your friend about this." And she kind of put the defensive, like, "Well, I don't want to hurt you," and I thought, right. "Well, I don't care if you want to hurt me, but it doesn't change anything really." So
yeah, all right, but
she kind of copped to it.
Yeah, I mean, she didn't really have anywhere to go.
It's Britain.
Yeah, she didn't have anywhere to go. I mean, but the thing is, she kind of took this position, just complete denial of wrongdoing. It was like, yeah, I did this, but, you know, I still love you, and I didn't want to hurt you. It was almost bizarre, just like her response to it.
Did she want to end her relationship with you? Did she want this relationship to end? Mm-hmm.
It certainly didn't seem like it, but...
All right, I'm done.
Explain her thinking to me.
I'll walk through it as well. I would love to hear what you have to say, because I always like hearing men explain it.
Men, women, whatever. People, all I do is say to people, you know what people want to do, and you know what they don't want to do by whether they do it versus talk about it. There's guys that are into a certain kind of porn. If they're into that certain kind of porn, they fucking find it. They're junkies. Can have $200 a day habits and not have jobs. They figure out what they want versus the person that says, "I'm going to make a documentary about something." It never happens. You know what I mean? If it never happens, then they're not really interested in it. Ultimately, you can say you're interested in X, Y, and or Z, but in the ones who do something about it, who act on it, that's what they're interested in. This one wanted out. I believe, because she wouldn't leave this stuff out there. She wouldn't be talking about pining for her old boyfriend. She wouldn't even be pining for her old boyfriend. Whether she knows it, now I don't know that she knows it. She could be crying to her friend right now going, "I love Vance so much. Right. All I want to do is get back with him." If she got back with him, something else would crop up in a few months.
It could. I would say, like, to go on our topic that we were talking about before with women having this ideal in their mind and thinking they have to get into a relationship, because what I'm hearing from him is that she wasn't so sure about the relationship, so she pushed for them to move in with each other so that they could see if it would work in that arena. And then something wasn't working so right, so she was still curious about other areas, and then she wanted to test that out to see if possibly this was better or caught her attention. And I don't think she was planning on actually going back with her ex-boyfriend. I just think that we get really insecure when we make choices sometimes, especially, like, for me, I can say I had the same thing. So I was dating my husband for 5 years, and after he proposed to me, that's when I started to go into my process of really evaluating whether or not I wanted to be with him. For the 5 years before, my focus was on getting him to commit to me and wanting him to want me for marriage. So I didn't actually think about whether or not he was a good partner. Right. I did in that the few months afterwards.
Yeah, so, I don't, you know, part of it is just you're 25, move on. Yeah. You don't have kids. You're not married. But the fact that she was so casual about this, knowing that her computer's out and that you hop on it frequently.
But she may have wanted him to see that, because she may want him to step up in some other area.
That's a distinct possibility. And he, unfortunately, at 25, is not insightful enough
right.
to know that, and neither she to be able to articulate that. So we may never know. But this is why it's called being immature. So if you want someone to step up in a certain department, you really need to sit down with them and have a discussion with them about stepping up in a department versus them
cheating.
Finding
yep. yeah.
shit on your computer. All right, one more phone call. And Scott, 28, Washington. Scott?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's going on, man?
Well, I've got a new baby, number 3 for us, and took him to the pediatrician when he was still pretty new. The pediatrician recommended that we give him a vitamin D supplement. I kind of thought that was a little bit crazy, and he said that's recommended by the American Pediatric Association. So I'm kind of trying to wrap my head around why a new baby needs that.
There's always been vitamin D fortified milk. I mean, vitamin D has always been a big issue. Are you in Washington State?
Yeah.
So you guys have the added issue of no sunlight.
Mm.
And sunlight is what converts the vitamin D to its active form. And so there may be issues up there that are of particular interest, number one. Number two, vitamin D has become a very hot topic throughout the lifespan for many reasons, not the least of which is they think it might have something to do with oncogenesis and reducing cancer risks and things.
But it couldn't hurt, as the Jewish doctor
probably
would say, right?
Yeah, it couldn't hurt. I was talking to an endocrinologist about this the other day, and he literally said, you can't take too much vitamin D. I thought, well, interesting. But the point is they're emphasizing it a lot these days, and the American of Pediatrics is now emphasizing it too. I'm not a pediatrician, but I would go with the Academy's recommendations.
All right, and I'm not a pediatrician, and I'm not a doctor, but I'd go with Drew's recommendations. All right, that's about all the time we have for the podcast, by the way, Ask Women Podcast, Real Dating Advice for Men, available on iTunes. Is that weekly?
Yes. It comes out every Thursday.
And every Thursday.
WingGirlMethod.com.
Yes.
And what else should we toss out there?
My Twitter. They can follow me at Kristen Carney. It's KristenCarney.
And at Wing Girl Method.
Oh, thanks.
For Marnie.
Oh, yes. There you go. All right. I'm sorry. The Marnie and the Carney got me momentarily confused. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla from Marnie and Carney. And Dr. Drew and you and Chris Max Patton and Gary Haftard saying mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.